You are about to participate in the most ambitious culinary experiment ever imagined.
This competition is going to test everything.
Adapt quickly to anything. I mean anything. The wildest day of your life starts right now.
All new 24 and 24 Last Chef Standing. Sunday night at 8 on Food Network. Stream on Max.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Rob Has a Podcast. I'm your host, Taryn Armstrong, and we are here tonight to talk about the Big Brother Canada 9 finale. And what a finale it was, with a great outcome here to top off a great season. With me tonight to talk about it all is Melissa. How are you doing, Melissa?
I'm doing really great. I feel like I was on pins and needles the whole time. I thought we were for sure heading to one outcome. And then, of course, just like Big Brother Canada 9 has been giving us all season, we ended up with another outcome. So this was very, very fun to watch. And, you know, I feel good about this result. I feel like great about this result, to be honest. So I'm very excited to talk.
All right. Also with me is Puya. How are you doing, Puya?
Phenomenal. 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 This is the first time in a long time that A, I've been very excited to be on a Big Brother podcast. B, first finale in a minute where the whole way through I've been happy to be there. The whole way through I've been happy with what's happening. And all the way to the end with the result, I'm chuffed. This couldn't have been a better situation for me. I'm so happy to be here right now.
All right. And finally, we have Aman with us, the chapstick eater himself. Aman, how are you?
I would eat an entire sheet of chapstick as long as it meant that this finale would come to be. I am on cloud 9. I cannot believe that we have finally did it. I am so excited. My heart is full. I had to get dressed for the occasion because this is just such a powerful moment. And I'm so happy, and I'm not going to cry at the beginning of the podcast, but this just feels so fucking good. I'm so happy to be here. Yes, Big Brother Canada has always been a beacon of light in the Big Brother community. And tonight they really showed us why, that they are here and they are here to stay. And I'm so excited, and my heart is full. That's all I can really say.
Yes. Yes. Do they make sheets of chat? Does chapsticks come in sheets? I don't know. What a finale here. Because here's the thing. On Tuesday night, we were running through predictions. I said, whoever wins that final three HOH is the person I think is going to win this game. So when Ty won that final three HOH, I was like, sealed it up. Ty will probably have, he has got the edge at least. And then those questions came and those answers came. And I was like, it's impossible. It's over. But not going to be the case. A 6-1 vote for Ty to win over Brayden. I'm incredibly curious myself what went into this decision. Again, based on the questions and the answers, it seems like that probably is not what won it for Ty. I'm going to guess that those votes were locked in prior to the questions and such. I think my biggest thing is, did it come down to that final three HOH? If Brayden had won and taken Ty, could Brayden have had a chance? I don't know. Hopefully we'll find out when I get a chance to talk to some of these jury members.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
I was just gonna say I sort of always like felt it in my bones that Ty was gonna be able to walk away with a win tonight. There certainly was a lot of stuff going into the jury phase that would have spoken to the contrary, but this season with this particular cast, to me, I really felt like at the core, a lot of them wanted to give this season to someone who really, really fought for it, because all of them really, really fought for it in their own sort of way. And that doesn't mean to say that Bray did not. Brayden certainly held his own. Brayden's social game certainly made him pull through. But I feel like Ty played a more visible game. I feel like that move by cutting Jed and everything, I really feel like that might have like really sealed the deal for him. And Jussie, of course, winning the final HOH and cutting Tara at the very end. Like, it's just like, there's so much stacked up for you. Those jury questions were a little, but I think that he was able to pull through in the end.
Yeah. I mean, honestly, while watching, if you look back on my Twitter feed during the finale, you can see that I thought this was another Big Brother Canada 6 situation where the jury was already decided coming in and Brayden had it. And, you know, the questions just seemed to indicate, and the reactions too, just seemed to indicate like, okay, Ty does not have this one, ladies and gentlemen. Like, this is a Brayden win. Everyone's voting for Brayden. Like, they already have it decided. These questions aren't changing anyone's minds. Like, I just thought for sure we were heading towards a Brayden win. I thought it was a Paris versus Kayla. And then you've got the Kayla, the person who's betraying people, who's right out there in front making these giant moves, but is pissing people off and doesn't really have that like social tact during it to kind of like maintain the jury. And then you've got Brayden, the Paris, on the other hand, who is doing things, but they're very subtle moves behind the scenes, you know. And if anything, like, I want to say, like, I do even think Paris was doing more than Brayden. So I thought this was even going to be like a further version of Big Brother Canada 6. And I was like, that was a loud car. I really don't want to see like this kind of gameplay get punished, I guess. Like, I didn't want it to be like, if you're there, like out front, making aggressive moves, playing a cutthroat game, betraying your alliance when you need to or whatever. Like, I didn't want that to go as like a punished, unrewarded game. So that way in the future, people are like, well, I don't want to play that way because look what happened to Ty. I'm so grateful that this is the result. As much as I think that Brayden did what he had to do, I think that Ty played that game. He wanted it and he went for it starting at the beginning. And I just think he absolutely deserved this.
Yeah, I love how far removed we are from you know, Tyler losing to Casey, Paul losing to Josh. For as much as some people I know wanted those results, and in Paris winning over Kayla, and I wanted some of those results as well personally, I love that we are very far away from them right now, and in a world where there will hopefully be no players who come into Big Brother thinking, I would like to make this big move, I would like to shake things up, but I gotta play a smarter, quieter social game if I want to win. I love that is not the narrative, as much as, you know, I think Brayden killed those jury questions.
Oh, yeah.
I thought he did a really, really good job. But in terms of the direction of this show and what we are rewarding, I'm so glad that that jury management is not what we're going to be talking about this season.
I never want to talk about jury management ever again. It's like, you talk about it once with Paul and it's like, okay, yeah, no, that's good. It's a good point. You know, we need to be thinking about this sort of stuff. But then it's like every single result after that, we have to talk about the same exact topic. Like, well, this is why you lost. This is why this happened. You have to manage the jury. Yeah. It's like that's enough is enough. Like, you can manage the jury, but also you should win if you play the best game. Like, there needs to be. I don't want to talk about jury management ever again.
We had to temper ourselves. A friend of mine on Twitter, BB Team North, he said during the question that Beth gave to Ty, he said he is spitting facts. Is Ty going to put a knife in the back of jury management as his last move? It's a hard truth. Jury management is important. But he's right. Jury management needs to be the moves made in the house, the way he treated people. I hadn't heard anyone say that in the seat before. It's bold. If they want to vote on Salt, that's fine. But Ty is not wrong. And I really, really believe that, because, yes, of course, jury management is important. But is that really what it's always going to come down to at the very end? Like, Beth, are you really going to base your entire vote on that one conversation when the both of you were getting heated with one another and not base it on the entire season of working together? Are you that mad? Really? Is that what you're really going to put your vote on? And the fact that she was able to be like, you know what? Yeah, you know what? I still don't think that Ty answered her question very well. He could, there was certainly more that he could have done. But the fact that she ultimately was like, you know what? Like, it's not even that deep. I'm not going to hold you for that, Ty. Like, yeah, that wasn't a great conversation, but that's not the entirety of the season should not rest on that. And I'm so proud that that's the result that we got.
Yeah, I think that ultimately with this entire finale, I think from the minute the jury questioning started, Ty fumbled and Brayden killed it. Brayden didn't just do okay. Brayden and knocked every answer out of the park.
I don't think Brayden could have answered the questions any better. The final speech we can talk about, but
yeah. So every question asked by the jury, Brayden knocks out. Every question Ty's answering, I got a little bit worried. Mm-hmm. But it is very nice to see that it's more than that. Like, we've always said questioning is important, jury management important, whatever, everything important, speech important. But given how little is put into these, given how much they give you limited time, one question per house guest, you pick which house guest, and then a minute for a speech, I'm happy that the 69 days, nice, are the ones that get considered and not this. I'm glad that weighs more. And this kind of result will put more emphasis on that. And we'll definitely talk about both of their games in this entire podcast. I think it was very cool from the beginning of the episode today to see the result go with Bray, to see everything hit a roller coaster, to see everything I thought was going to happen not happen and then happen anyways, with two people who did amazing, two people who had not one vote against them. One of them was on the block the most, one of them was not on the block at all. Perfect. Again, you couldn't have written a better ending for this season. Yeah, you really
very
couldn't.
Poetic.
Yeah. So good.
Yeah, and, I mean, go ahead.
Well, I love it too. That's part of why I'm wondering, because, you know, I did an off-season podcast about jury management. The conclusion that I came to is that the best jury management is actually winning competitions. And that's part of why I want to know how much of this came down to who won that final three HOH, because I'm completely in agreement with you guys, and I love what Ty said, that it should be the 69 days. But I do think there's a chance that this jury voted based on who won the final competition, or at least some of them did, because that's what they said that they would do prior. Honestly, I don't care if they did, because I'll ask the question and they'll tell me and I'll be like, okay, guys, that's what it was. But that's not the message I want people to take
overarching,
away.
Yeah. The overarching narrative, people won't even really remember those. I mean, not to say that you don't do fabulous work, Taryn. What I'm saying is that we move from this.
You didn't hear that I control the entire Big Brother narrative?
When we move from this season, people are going to be overall thinking, you know, what happened during the finale, on the episode, all of that. So it's just going to be such a nice way to move forward. But I don't disagree with you at all. I think that there is a possibility, because, I mean, when you saw Victoria's face when she was wondering who was going to come out as the last juror, and when you saw the disappointment on her face when it was Tara, I was like, oh, damn, they really, really wanting Tara to be the one in the seat.
They had a big reaction, not only when Tara came out, but also when they were told who evicted her. And again, Kiefer told me in his interview, whoever wins the final, if Brayden wins and takes Ty, I'm voting Brayden. Jed said in a very recently released clip from ET Canada that he is no longer bitter against Ty and that he would give Ty his vote if he pulls out this final win. So
I don't see why it's so important. It's like, yeah, I get that. Like, if you evict someone, it's important for your game because the person that you like keep in is who you're going to be going against. But I feel like it's like these competitions are so ridiculous that like I don't feel like it like really matters, and it really shows that you're the best Big Brother player. Like I just don't get that.
I mean, we saw this come down to Brayden putting his answer in too early, realizing it was wrong, and not being able to change. That could be what decided the outcome of the entire season. That's a lot. It's definitely, I mean, I again, completely agree, but I also feel like, you know, looking at the last few, I mean, you look at Dane versus Anthony, you know, Dane had the competitions and we talked about that a lot. You look at Cody versus Enzo. Cody did have the competitions, but let's be real. That was always going. The competitions did not matter in that regard. It was always going to be Cody. I'm hoping that not only are we moving away from like social game jury management, but also I would love to move away from, oh, you won 5 comps to 4. Mm-hmm. So you get my vote.
It doesn't matter about winning the competitions. It matters about what you do with that win. Like a lot of the times, like a win is like, oh, I wasn't on the block and I won veto and I didn't need it and I didn't use it. So that was that. And then it just automatically stacks up in your win column. It's like if you're winning and it doesn't matter what you do with it, because like whatever, you were safe anyway, your ally won HOH, like it really doesn't affect anything, then like that shouldn't matter. Like that shouldn't affect the end game. Like if you win because like you were about to leave the house and you had to, you know, like they were going to kick you out and you needed to win to stay, totally. All credit for that. But it's like, you have to be able to like see the context.
Yeah. I'm not going to bite the hand that feeds me though. We got a great outcome in this finale.
Yes, so, of course. Well, look, if we only talk about the good stuff, then, you know, what else are we going to talk about? I don't know. Look, I will say in regards to the questions, I think that they didn't do Ty didn't do himself any favors. He did not win with his answers. I'll say that because all his answers were like the wrong thing to say. It was like, I played a loyal game. I played an honest game. Mm-hmm. It was like, okay, first of all, you didn't do either of those things. So you do you like not know how you played? Like, do you not know what your gameplay looks like to an outsider? Like, it just seemed it was like he didn't want to own up to like the fact that he was cutthroat. That was the best part of him.
They voted for a game that Ty was not pitching to them. They voted for the game that they saw, not the one that he was telling them he played, which is good for us because again, like you don't want somebody who played a game like Ty to not win just because he slips up at the, you know, 99 yard. I don't know what hell yards work in football. The 1 yard line, the one right before the finish line, the end zone, the touchdown area.
That whole thing, like right before you win. Yeah, sort that of thing. One.
You don't want somebody to lose just because they make one mistake right at the end, even if it is a mistake. It definitely felt like a mistake. Beth says, Ty, you lost my vote. Win it back. And he said, well, I played an honest and loyal game. I never threw my allies under the bus. I never went into an HOH room and said, nominate Beth. And she literally made like a, are you kidding me face? Which to me was in the moment, he's clearly not getting her vote. But in retrospect, clearly was, I've got to vote for this guy. Are you kidding me?
Yeah, no, totally. It was like, I mean, I do think, I will say that I do think his end speech was better than his questions. Although like he didn't say that he had never been nominated. I feel like that's a huge thing. I mean, Brayden played up the fact that he'd been nominated 5 times or 6 times or whatever. And it's like, you shouldn't say that. Like, don't bring that up. That's a bad thing. But like Ty didn't bring up the good thing, which is that he's never been nominated. I mean, that's
not
huge.
In his speech, but he did say it on one of the answers. I think he said in the Rose, the second person who asked him a question. I remember in my notes, he mentioned it. It was like at the very tail end of the answer, but I was like, at least you put it out there.
I didn't hear it either.
Yeah, I didn't hear it. Yeah, exactly.
He did say it.
Yeah.
But you should be like playing that up. I mean, that's a huge thing. Not very many people can say that. Mm-hmm. Like that's like a, what, like 5 people or something in the history of Big Brother? 6 people? I don't know. It's like very small.
Yeah, but also, like to me, if I want to put myself in his shoes, right, you're about to do the last hurdle for 100K. The stress is high, right? Especially if you're coming in and you're like, ooh, I don't know. Like I'm feeling a little bit of heat. This is literally where the tables turn on me. I've been saying I don't care. Here I am about to ask these people for money. It is nerve wracking. And given that there's
main point, though.
I mean, I know it is. But like, I mean, I've stood in front of a crowd before and also like blanked on the main thing I've wanted to say before.
It'd be like us having this podcast and forgetting to talk about that Ty won.
Wait,
I mean, I'm sure there was a conversation about, you know, we vote for the person that, you know, wins the last HOH and takes out whoever. I'm sure that those conversations arose in the jury. But I'd also just like to believe that what Ty said actually did have an effect as well, because Jed, are you really not going to vote for Ty? I just don't see a situation that Ty is sitting in the final two and Jed does not vote for him, no matter what the outcome was of him getting there. Also, for Beth, I do not see Beth not voting for Ty because they were making out for one third of the season. You do not not vote for the person that you are making out with for one third of the season. Even if you're sitting next to Tara, a girl that you said you want to win the end because you're most hurt by the person that you've been making out with for the third of the season. So I just feel like some of, I feel like some of the
What are we comparing here? It's different.
Hi to Jackson. Hi to Jackson. Anyway, I just feel like there are some like real truths there in terms of like what Ty was trying to express to the jury. That I feel like if you are a fan of the game, it's sort of hard to be like, yeah, but I don't like you though. Cause did any of them really not like him, or were they just mad that he was able to float and be a little bit less volatile than they were? Because the rest of them were flashing around and Ty never really had to do much of that because, like he said before, y'all were the ones doing all that. I just sat back and I've never touched the block. Obviously it worked. So
yeah. And that was because, like I said, I feel like Brayden killed the questions. I felt like I was listening to him, and it's not very often that I feel this way, but I felt like I don't think he could have answered that better. Maybe have a little more passion. Mm-hmm. Maybe yes. That's like the one thing yes. I could have said.
Yeah.
Maybe a little bit more of a personal plea in there. But that's nitpicking because he did so well with those questions. But his final speech, I did feel was lacking. He starts to stumble. He starts to, which by itself, you know, he loses that composure that he had. And then in addition to that, I agree. I did not like that he brought up how many times he was nominated because, I understood his point. His point was, and I think as a counterpoint to Ty saying I was never nominated, saying I was nominated five times and never had a single vote cast against me is a great retort. Mm-hmm. The problem was that Ty didn't bring that up in his final speech. So when Brayden brought it up, I think it only serves to remind people, oh yeah, but Ty was never nominated. Mm-hmm. So it was counterproductive in that way. So after Brayden's speech, we see Victoria say, and so I watched this back a few times. Victoria says, I don't know what to do. She looks at Roe. Roe is stone faced. Mm-hmm. She looks at Kiefer, and Kiefer mouths or says to Sean, in my opinion. So I don't know what that means. If that means that Victoria was almost swayed by Brayden's speech, or if she was already going to vote Bray and then was swayed away from Bray mm-hmm. by that speech.
See, that's what I would like to believe. I really feel like it was a bit of a live jury situation mm-hmm. here.
Yeah, it looks like that.
Because of the way that they framed the arguments, I mean, more specifically, Bray, I think you're right. Like, it really made you think, like, yeah, that's impressive. You never had a vote against you, but Ty never touched the block. Oh, my God. But, like, your social game was so good. But Ty's social game must have been good, too, because he never touched the block. Oh, my God. What do I do? I kind of like Bray a little bit more because he, you know, didn't really do anything. Like, he didn't really stab me in the back. Like, and I thought I was with Ty and Jed, but then again, I kind of screwed Ty and Jed in the beginning. So, like, what does it all mean? What does it mean?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I think for me, if you look at the way their body language and the way they were talking, both of them, it was very clear that Ty was a little bit higher energy, a little bit louder. At moments during the answers, I was like, I feel like you're yelling at them a little bit, whereas Bray was cool, calm, collected, very passive in some of the answering, but that cool, calm, collected works in Q&As. But then when you come to the speeches, mm-hmm. Ty's energy is irreplaceable. I've mentioned this tonight earlier. Literally every time Ty said yes, I felt it mm-hmm. in my bones. Like, it felt so good. And that passion is irreplaceable. So when you're in front of a jury and you got that energy goes a long way. And then if the words are hitting, that's also good, but the energy is what you're going to remember. And then with Brayden's situation, with Brayden going a little bit more passive, a little bit more calm, that is very good if you're articulating a phenomenal game, which he is. The problem is there are moments in that speech which aren't great. But it's basically, for me, if you compare the energy at the speeches benefits Ty, the energy at the Q&A benefits Brayden.
Yeah, I think for sure part of it for me, if I'm a jury member and I'm watching and I'm seeing Ty talk and I'm seeing Brayden talk, I see the passion in Taya. I see the desire. I see the want to win. Like that, you know, I don't see that in Brayden. And I feel like, oh, okay. So he doesn't care as much, and he probably won't care as much as if he loses. Like, it's probably okay. I don't know. I guess it's probably not okay, obviously, but like, I do think that the passion and like the desire really would make me want to vote for that person. And I think we saw something similar with Paris and Kayla. I mean, they both really seemed like they wanted to win, but Paris for sure was like, this is something I've been wanting my entire life, blah, 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 you know, that whole thing. And it really, I think it spoke to the jury. And I think that the passion is something you need to have, especially at the end.
So for me, if I may like disagree just a little bit, I think that there's no world where Bray didn't want this, right? I think that ultimately, as people, we all have different strengths, different weaknesses. And Bray doesn't have that like louder energy in him the way that Ty does as far as speaking.
Oh, I don't think he didn't want it. I don't want to, I don't want to pretend like that's what I don't think that he didn't want it. I think that it was like, you could see that Ty really wanted it, and you couldn't see that as much as Brayden, because he was kind of just very like even keel, which is kind of his whole like thing, which I think is great in most situations in this game. But I think at the end, when you need to like prove to the jury that like, this is something I want, when you're more like calm and passive, it doesn't come across that way.
Yeah. And I think that was a strength of Brayden's through the game. We talked about it all the time. And they even had a little graphic of it tonight. Yeah. 100%. Yeah, absolutely. I completely agree. Yeah, definitely. Yeah. Like that is Brayden's personality. And it's effective in the game in the sense that, it helps, you know, keep him as sort of a non-entity, somebody not worth targeting, somebody that is not against you because they're agreeing with you. And somebody that you don't need to deal with, and that helped him get further in the game, but it also made it harder for him to make a case for himself at the end of the game. And in this speech, as Melissa says, I think it does make him come off as maybe even a little bit too cool, calm, cool, and collected. Whereas you can see in Ty, who is normally pretty cool, calm, and collected, you can see the panic and like just the and Brayden's just normal Brayden. And so I think for some people, and in some ways, like when you see Dan start to panic in season 14, when you see Paul start to panic in season 19, for some jury members, they're like, screw you, asshole. but when some people start to panic, they're like, oh, look how much they care. It's sweet. So yeah. I think it really can depend in some instances.
I mean, I think it's very indicative of what Ty said. Like, what are we rewarding here? Are we going to reward the last 50 minutes, or are we going to reward the whole 69 days? And pick your poison. Like, you can either reward the last 50 minutes and then have to like hear hell from the fans for the rest of eternity, or you can go ahead and award the 69 days and then get that call for All Stars talking about how you voted for the best person in your season. Pick your poison, baby. Take it.
There you go. Man, I feel this, and I want it, and I feel like I have hope for the first time in a long time. I want this to be the start of a new era of Big Brother. It feels, between the casting, the diversity, the way that this season plays out, the winner, the way that he played the game, the respect that all of the players had for the game, the amount that they fought to be here, and to win and to reward the best player. Like, I want this to be the start of something great. CBS, the ball isn't now in your hands. Don't screw this up. Please take notes for what they did this season, because you've got some big shoes to fill right now.
Yeah. And my belief in you is very low. So you don't have to do much to make me feel better about it. But literally, BB Can just did everything and made it one of the best seasons in recent memory. So do your job. They had no returning players. They had innovative comps, more equalizing. Everyone had a fair shot at it. Get it done, and I'll be happy.
I'm optimistic. I mean, I'm always optimistic about Big Brother, but I agree. I just think that this should be a watershed moment. I think that there's no reason for it not to be. And just come to think, all you had to do was just make a more diverse cast, and Wow. Wow. Who would have thought that having a bunch of different kinds of people with different types of personalities and agendas and all sorts of things would result in a messy but fantastic season? Oh, my God. Huh. I just can't get over it. I can't get over it.
And
never thought.
And yeah, and the competitions, you know, I've talked about it all season long.
Yeah.
I think we're absolutely a huge part of this. You know, it just, we went into the final three and each of the final three had won three competitions.
Yes.
Like they had an equal chance. I actually on Twitch today went through an entire analysis of every single time Brayden, Ty, and Tara competed against each other all season long. It played out the way that pretty much we thought it would. But the point here is that they come into this final three and anyone could have won this.
Literally.
Tara was never going to win part two, but like still.
part one was anybody's. It went to overtime.
Was there, I could be showing my ass right now, but has there ever been someone that has won a battle back and made it to the final three?
Won a battle back? No, Gary came back.
I forgot about Gary.
And
his ass almost won too.
Yeah.
Okay, well, not as I was trying to, you know, give a little juice to Tara, but still, it's still an impressive statistic. You know what I mean? It's not every day that it happens.
Come back at the final five. I mean,
we can you know, spit into the wind all we want. But I'm just saying, there is a lot of goodness in this final three. There's lots of layers and crunchiness with this final three, and I just, you know, I think that's rare. We don't really get that often. Mm-hmm. So
yeah, I think they all have a good story. Like if you follow each of them from the beginning to the end, they all have a good story. And I think especially for Tara, I mean, you can go back and look at our roundtables from the beginning of the season and we just like counted Tara out. We were just like, this girl is she even on this show? We don't even know anything about her. Like she's done. And now look at her. I mean, that's like the comeback story. I mean, she wasn't doing anything in the beginning and then she goes on to win like all these competitions. I mean, you have to give her credit for that. She was on the outs for a long time, basically the whole game, with Tina as her only ally. And then she makes it to the final three. And if she got to the end, the final two, she probably would have won. So, I think that's crazy. And we have to give her credit for that for sure.
I think that she would have deserved to win. And I know that having a historic, groundbreaking final two and the winner is extremely important to people. Extremely important to me. But I couldn't like stick my nose up at the fact, like if Tara would have won, like she would have had the narrative to back it up. Like you can't believe that Gary deserved to win BB Can 1 and not also believe that Tara had a shot at winning BB Can 9. So that's just how I feel about it.
I think if any of the three had won, I think we could have sat here and made an argument as to like why they won and why the other people lost. Like I think that we absolutely could have done that.
I mean, this was straight up the first time in the history of my watching this show ever that I came into the finale night being anyone wins, I'm still going to be okay with it. Like I have my preference and my preference won. Yes. But any of them would have won. And I'm like, okay, well done. Like I would have been very okay with the situation. Genuinely. That's why this felt great. I didn't come in nervous. I came in not knowing what was going to happen. I came in not knowing anything about anything. And it was just a delight to watch top to bottom.
Yeah. Also, wow. A Big Brother Canada season with no spoilers. Like that really just changed.
That helped.
The entire viewing dynamic of this season.
So good.
Y'all were going crazy. I've been like the timeline every Thursday was like, where are the spoilers? I'm like, it's not happening this year, guys.
You guys are more generous than me. I was only cool with Ty winning.
Yeah, no, I mean, I was so earlier today, I, without trying, saw two spoilers, right? And each spoiler, one had Ty winning part one, one had Tara winning part one. So when Brayden won, I was like, y'all need to stop this nonsense. You're wasting space on the hashtag. Leave it. Just tune in at 8. It ain't that deep. Just tune in at 8.
How's this for a spoiler? When I was doing my detailed competition analysis, I said part one, Brayden first, Tara second, Ty third. Boom. And I said part three, Ty has the edge if he makes it there. I did give the edge to Tara over Ty in part two, but how am I supposed to know they're going to give a throwing a ball at a thing competition? That's never happened in part two before. I was expecting a weird puzzle thing.
That was a hard one. That's a really hard. Holy shit.
Well, Taryn, you know what you couldn't predict? Amon being the new draft champion.
Oh, no. I predicted that ages ago. Just not when I needed to.
I wasn't going to bring that up or anything, but
yes, Amon actually had both Brayden and Ty in his draft.
I had all three of my people in the final five, yes, baby. It was a foregone conclusion.
If Tara had taken this, nobody would have won.
I was going to be so, I mean, like, look, Tara, great for you, girl, but I would have been so pissed off if that would have happened. Are you kidding me? Are you kidding me? Two people in the final three, and the one that's undrafted by anybody. Now I have to come back and be on the podcast and talk about, no one won because no, screw that. I win because effectively all of my players outlasted all of yours. So there it is.
Oh, man. Yeah. Well, there we go. Amon did have to eat a chapstick, but at least can console himself with a cool draft win. There we go.
It was part of my plan.
There we go.
A big comeback in the end.
And look, I don't want to like misrepresent myself here because like I would have been honestly sad had Ty not won. So like as much as it's like we could argue that all these like the final three all could like they deserve to win because of XYZ and this person deserved to lose because of XYZ, like I would have not been thrilled. Like I definitely was rooting for Ty in the end. I feel like he absolutely deserved it. I'm so happy that he won. And you know, it's just a great finale all around. Like just great. And also like, I do want to bring up like Kiefer winning Canada's favorite house guest, like for the first time they're having Canada's favorite house guest. I was really happy he won. He was so excited. And I love he didn't even know that there was like money involved. He thought it was just like a title and was like, yay, thank you. That's great. And then all of a sudden she was like, and you win $10,000. And he's like, oh my God. I thought it was so great. I loved it so much.
Yeah, I think it's wonderful too, especially since, you know, Big Brother Canada has been very conscious this year, not even just about diversity, but about the fact that their studio is on native land. And so to really, I feel like it just really brings the entire thing full circle. And it was a foregone conclusion that Kiefer was going to win that. I mean, that yesterday's episode was like Kiefer or die, you know? So I think that he deserved it. And he really showed a lot of heart and a lot of passion. He was messy at times, just like the rest of his cast. But I think that he really, really showed us his heart this year. And it was great to see.
Yeah, that was a fun. I like the Canada's favorite thing. I feel like it's a nice little like you throw the fans a little bit of a bone. And Kiefer has definitely made a big splash in Canada. For him to get that, I know as well that there are a lot of Kiefer haters who are probably very upset that this happened. But you know what? Being upset that the good thing happened to a person is not always the best place to be.
Yeah, you know, I never really, the most that I see about Kiefer haters is that they just don't like the fact that he can be so defeatist and like really,
well, I think be like the fact that he said he was going to be win Canada's favorite before it was even a thing.
He has an ego for sure, but he's a great guy. I really do like him and I am very glad that he won it. And I do kind of wish, I will say, I wish that they did what Big Brother US does, which is they say the top three. Because then at least like two other house guests, maybe they didn't win they didn't win Canada's favorite, but they at least get the acknowledgement that like, oh, I was near the top. Like, I like that.
If there was a top three, who do we think? Who do we think was in there with him? You got to think
probably Victoria
Vic,
and Roe, probably. I think
Vic,
I mean, like,
for sure.
Just from like the fans' perspective, I know, or at least what I'm seeing.
I know Roe is popular online. I don't know if that translates to the casual audience. I feel like the only other person that would have had a shot here would have been, Tina won a vote, but she was not very big on the episodes. But we know that the Newfoundland fan base is very, very present in a lot of these fan votes. So I feel like if anyone were to upset Roe, I think it would have been I guess Tara became a very likable underdog.
It would have been Tina. Just the Newfoundland contingent is strong. Like the Kiefer and Yeah. Tina won the vote at the start of the season. To me, they were always going to be in the running for the end of the season. And I think obviously goes without saying, but Kiefer had a bigger impact in the game, on the show, and as far as representing his own and his community, he went above and beyond anyone else. So it was clear cut for him. But I think Tina would have been in the running, even though I don't think she would have done a lot of a splash on the entertainment factor on the show to gain it.
Yeah.
So
yeah,
did anybody use their VPN to vote?
I did not vote. But did so could no, the so final three so. Have won?
I mean, obviously we don't know. This is the first time they've ever done it, and we barely even know the US rules at this point. I feel like most people probably wouldn't give their vote to the final three just because they still are capable of winning. I feel like it's usually something that you go to somebody not, unless there's like an overwhelming favorite that's still in the final three. And I don't think that was the case here.
Yeah, I feel like they need to clarify those rules. I mean, from a legal perspective, they do. But like, you know,
if they were options, yes, I assume them, Melissa. If they were options, I assume they were eligible.
Yes, but like, I mean, they need to clarify. I mean, they probably do. Maybe I'll check the official rules and read through it. But like, honestly, they need to say whether if the final three, like, can you vote for someone in the final three? Like, can they win it if they're in the final three? Can they win it if they win the money? Like, if they win first or second, can they still get Canada's favorite on top of that?
Could you imagine your prize, $100,000, $10,000 in grilling and accessories, $10,000 powered by sunlight. $10,000 as Big Brother Canada favorite.
yeah, you just keep piling it on. Yeah. I need to look up those terms because like literally like that, I do think that makes a difference because I think like if there is some, like what happens to those votes if they then are ineligible? Do those votes then just disappear? Like, or do they, I mean, like, never mind. We're getting into the legal aspect of it. But it's just, it's literally like that just like is in my mind because it's like that, it, that does matter.
Mm-hmm. The Vietnam War, it's over. You're John Chespagon.
A new HBO original limited series.
Welcome to the world of spycraft. Strap in.
From executive producers Park Chan-wook and Robert Downey Jr.
What are you concealing?
Based on the Pulitzer Prize-winning novel by Viet Thanh Nguyen.
What if I told you that I was a communist spy?
How did you become this?
The Sympathizer, streaming April 14th on Max. Subscription required.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Guys, did you see when LaToya dragged Beth?
That was literally, I know there's been a lot of talk about NFTs and selling images digitally for money. This needs to be an NFT. That was such a good moment. And here's the cherry on top. Here's the cherry on top. Braden in the background on the Jumbotron also getting his reaction in was so good.
He's like,
so good. So good.
He's like,
What makes this moment so funny to me is the fact that LaToya is the one to bring reality crashing down into the atmosphere of the game. Because Jen and Beth, they've been screwing around in the jury house. They don't know what's going on in the outside world. Mm-hmm. So for her to be sitting there in that fly-ass suit, so poised and proper, mind you, looking like the queen of sheep, she said... Jed and Beth getting together, I was very disappointed. I think nobody wanted to see that. I lost my mind. I could not believe that she really... And knowing the fact that she also was speaking with Jed's mother, like, she just really came with a mission, and she said, this is what I have to say. and I'm done. And I loved it. And you have to think that these are like pre-approved, right? Because this isn't live. It's not like this is something that, you know, that they couldn't stop. So they had ample opportunity to be like, let's not do that.
I think if she had said Jed's mom didn't want to see that, they might have been like, eh. But for sure, nobody wanted to see. I mean, it's all fair. Like they did have like a little bit of a rivalry in the game. And so like her taking a little snipe at Beth, I think is totally fair game. There's definitely been a lot of online stuff with Beth and Jed's mom and stuff that is. Those are not waters that I particularly want to tread, but Toya in the finale was a funny moment.
It was a great moment. I will say, like, because I agree, Tara, I don't think that we should, you know, be piling on in any sense. I think let's let these people live. They've been in the house, like let them breathe. But nonetheless, the biting honesty is always refreshing on Big Brother, no matter who it's coming from. And so I'm giving LaToya, she had a moment in this. She still stole the show one good time for the one time. And I give her props for that.
Also, something I want to bring up is the jury like questioning with Anthony. Like I guess it's the jury round table. I don't know. It's not really a round table, but I loved that they brought in Anthony. I thought that was amazing. The one thing I did not like, one of the things I did not like was the editing of that segment.
Yeah,
it was like really weird. Yeah. It was like, Beth's like, I think Brayden should win. And then like Kiefer says one thing and she's like, well, Beth, now we have a lot to think about. Maybe my mind has changed. It's like, your mind changed from like one comment. Like, I'm sure there was more discussion. It was just really like, I mean, maybe they were trying to convince us that Brayden was going to win. I don't know.
I mean, I wonder if in that round table, they did come to the conclusion, like maybe they did. Maybe they said like, okay, guys, we've solved it. Whoever wins the final three HOH. If we had seen that, it wouldn't have been great. Right. So
yeah,
maybe
they had to cut around
it a lot, probably.
Also, Taryn, I was like, maybe this is the reason that Anthony did not show up for the podcast the other day.
No.
That's so funny.
I felt like our lion was underused here.
I think so too. I think that there should have been more of like a, oh my God, it's Anthony. You know what I mean? Like, he's not been on the show since.
Yeah.
I wanted
to see Anthony give him a pep talk. I wanted to tell them, are you lions or are you Pumbas? Who are you voting for?
I also wanted to see Anthony like grill them a little bit. Like, I don't know. Like I wanted him to say like, okay, well, do you think you're voting with your head or with your heart? Or do you think you're voting, like, are you voting for who played the best game? You know, like I want him to like kind of, rather than just be like, okay, what do you guys think? Like, now let's open the floor to you guys for the rest of the time. And I say like nothing. It's like, I was hoping that they would have him kind of just be like, kind of, I like when they guide the jury in a way that's like, you should vote for the best game player and not just like go off of like personal like vendettas or, you know, bitterness. Like, I don't know.
I mean, honestly, my guess would be that either Anthony on his own or, you know, on direction from the producers was like Anthony knows his power. Like Anthony has to be very careful to not accidentally persuade the jury one way or another. Like Anthony doesn't want to have that. Anthony doesn't want to convince
true, true,
the jury.
True.
Dan Giesling had no qualms about interfering in season one.
Oh my God.
And Will has no qualms about interfering with any season that he does. I feel like maybe Anthony felt a little bit of responsibility to be neutral, or maybe he was told to be. Or maybe we just missed some of the good moments because they couldn't show it because of whatever.
Right. I think that.
Yeah.
I think it was so short that they chopped out some good bits. So I would really be interested. They really should, like Big Brother Canada and Big Brother US, we know that the jury segments are longer than what you're showing us. Would you mind dropping like a live feed of that? We'd really like that because that's like the meat and potatoes of the end game. We want to see that stuff.
Yeah. Let me be critical. I loved everything, right? Let me be critical about one thing. 8:14. That's when the recap wrapped up tonight. 14 minutes? I've been here from day one. I don't need to see this. Like, this is too much. This is too much.
I disagree. I disagree. Yeah, I thought it was fun.
I loved it.
Yeah,
I love that. I'm with Tuya on this one.
Give me the movie trailer in a world where there's three people to win. Give me all of that.
But then don't get monster.
You can cut 4 minutes out of it. The bishop is all I'm saying.
Yeah, you can cut time. Also, like all these, like let's do a montage of everybody doing this and that. Like cut all that.
Show us
new stuff.
Give us the diversity segment. Cut out the other two nonsense montages, and keep the recap because the recap was fun.
I like the recap too. It just pumped me up and everything because I hate it on Big Brother US when it's like. Previously on this season of Big Brother, and then they talk about like the first week, and they're like, and now we're down to the final three. I'm like, what the hell is that? Like, ew. Like, I like to be taken on a journey. Maybe it was a smidge too long, but I will take this over the stuff that we've gotten in the past.
Why honestly, not like put this stuff in the last episode where the episode where they're doing the Big Brother awards or whatever? Like, why not be like, okay, this is what happened all season, just to catch you guys up. Here's the awards. Here's like showing you random clips from the season. Okay, now let's move. Like, let's forget all that.
It's the finale. You gotta have
more people are gonna tune in here.
When I watch like.
That's the point. No one needs to see this.
When I watch old seasons of Big Brother, I love that recap on the finale. Like I think to like a season I hated, Big Brother 9. You watch the finale of Big Brother 9 and they walk you through that season and make it sound good. And I'm like, ooh, this season was maybe better than I thought it was as I was watching it. And it's part of the finale. It's part of the episode that you might go back to watch because I have gone back to watch that season because I watch finales all the time because I look at their stupid jury things. But I don't know. I like it. It's part of what inspired me to do the game recaps on the live feed update things. Of course, those are nowhere near the same thing anymore because they're way too detailed. And I can't lie.
Can you imagine a Taryn final?
That's what
recap?
You know what? I think if so I have an extra day next time, episode. maybe I should make my own little 14-minute recap.
We would be
I dare you to give me 14 minutes, Taryn.
Give us Sunday.
14 hours. It'd be too much. It'd be a lot.
Now I'll make it up. I'll act like they're superheroes, just like Big Brother Canada. I'll be like when I was doing Josh's and Big Brother. Josh, the underdog king, he undercut Paul at every turn with his goodbye messages.
If Taryn was responsible for any of that, it would be Big Brother Canada 11, and we'd still be talking about this.
I'm going to show you all. Yeah. Big Brother 23, I'm going to have a whole thing. It's going to be great.
Oh, we're going to regret this. I'll tell you that. I just want to make it clear. I liked it. I just think we can move from 14 to 10 minutes. Just cut 4 minutes, cut 4 minutes and put that elsewhere. But I do want to co-sign the some of the clip show packages, especially having just seen them on the award episode. Like, we didn't need to see it all over again because what they do that for, that's not for the clips. Obviously, that's for the reactions of the jurors to what they've not seen. But even they don't give me that excitement. As much as I would want them to, this comes from someone who loves react content on the internet. I watch a lot of them.
I do love the fight segment though, because I love a good big brother fight. I love that segment, so I think that should be a staple.
I don't know, like the fight segments never do anything for me because part of what makes fights entertaining to me is the context surrounding the fight. Like just people yelling doesn't do anything for me. People yelling after
the
build
context
up
already.
Yeah, but it's like when Vic says. You don't deserve to be here. Like, it's like, okay, I remember that moment, but it's not the same as after 10 minutes of did you not say that, Vic? You don't deserve. That's much better.
I also feel like they, if they're going to show, so like the one where they're all saying the same thing and they're like, oh, you know what? I don't remember. They're also using catchphrases.
I keep your name out of my mouth. Something like that.
That one's funny, and I think it is funny. But I feel like that belongs on the Big Brother Canada Awards. And then I feel like the ones where that I would like to see the jury's reaction are things that they would not have like known about or seen. Not just like fights that everybody knows about. It would be more
like
interesting
little,
if it was
small
like
moments that you forget about.
Like if it would be more interesting if it was like, oh, this is when. Ty was talking about cutting Beth, and this is when he was going to, you know what I mean? Like when they revealing big strategy things where it's like, oh my God, you guys all did this behind my back. Like that would be an interesting reaction. But I feel like the ones where it's kind of just like, oh, this is kind of goofy, silly. It's kind of just like, oh, ha, ha, ha. But it's like, nah, it's not giving me anything.
I can agree with that. Yeah.
Yeah. I was saying during the episode, and I think I've said this a lot of times, but I like the way Survivor does it way more. Survivor, they have the final tribal, they vote, and then there's this big buildup, and then they immediately read the votes, and then they have a reunion, and they show clips, and they ask questions, and I feel like I can like sit and relax and enjoy and watch the reunion and watch the clips when they cast their votes, and I'm at my peak level of like, oh my God, what is it? They then go into, and here are the fights along the across the entire season, and I'm like,
Oh no! Wow, that is about to be a reaction video.
I mean, you guys didn't have to make it that way.
Whoa, baby, that's about to do. That's going to get abused. Like, during 23.
Oh my God!
Look, they ruined it.
I've had it.
I was ready. I just wanted the nice reunion cuddles after, and instead they were like, nope, cuddles before. I was like, what?
Yeah, it does sort of take your ire out of the winds. There are definitely, especially in seasons that I don't particularly care for. Okay, yeah, that's going to live in my mind for a while. But I think that, especially the seasons that I don't care for, it does sort of like you're on a high and then it's sort of you're coasting just to get to the end of the vote. But I do think that we do need those clip shows in the finale. The placement could probably use some work. But yeah, I like being reminded of all of the stuff that we missed. What I don't understand is that why are they still paying Orisa's Drag Race dust? Can we not get like a fully edited cut of them in drag? I don't understand. Like, why do they hate that? We loved watching that on the feeds. That was like one of the best moments on feeds. It's so annoying.
And like, that's the thing. I mean, we know this was historically one of the worst seasons, probably worst season ever for feeds. Like they were all cut all the time. But I like using the finale as a platform of, hey, we're going to show you some clips, but here are some things that you missed on the show proper and you can only catch on our feeds. Next year, tune in there. It's a good time there too. Like, use it to cross promote your other content. But I also know that don't matter all that much. You want the big moments that happen throughout.
Are y'all crying?
I can't look at my sister. You are so laughing.
I'm sorry. I like mute myself because I just keep thinking back. Okay. I'll stop. This is like too much. I'm sorry.
Oh man. Yeah, that's gonna be one for the ages.
Oh yeah. Yeah. No, combined with this one with the announcement of the fake double, like Taryn's on another level on getting memed this season.
I think it's so funny though, Puya, because you mentioned like the feet, like feeds being the worst for this season. And I think it's just such a funny juxtaposition of this being one of the most critically acclaimed seasons of Big Brother ever, Big Brother Canada ever, but also the worst feeds experience known to man. Like, I just think that's just hilarious to me.
Yeah, it's like, how much of the feeds did you watch? Well, let's see. Let's cut out 42% for outage, 26% for sleeping, about 30-some. Like, that's all we got. And that 30-some was worth every second. Like, it's nuts.
I was really trying to, you know, temper myself throughout the 6 minutes, being like, oh, it's not that bad. Like, the feeds are always bad, Big Brother Canada. I was like really being like, you know, the optimist. But then when Feedsbot, like, because even Feedsbot was like, okay, this is some shit. And then when they released those percentages, I was like, oh, maybe they really were effing up over there. Y'all got some splaining to do.
The feeds being down nearly 50% of the time, the feeds being down is a lot. It's brutal. More than 50% of waking hours, of the feeds were down.
Let this be known, because I know all four of us have talked about this at this point. The fact that we got those big outages right after the double and they didn't want us to see anything, and everyone's like, well, I don't care about the season anymore. I want to go back to talking about how we feel about tonight. Literally, the makeup of the final three, the fact that it was so anybody's game, it brought all of us back in a big way. Like these last 2 days build up waiting to see this finale go down. Well worth it, ultimately. Even though I'm not going to lie to you, for like about a week and a half, I was kind of out of it. It brought me right back.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, there were for me, there were 2 weeks. The Invisible HOH week, I was like, and then the fake double eviction, the feeds being down, I didn't really get back into it until tonight. Like,
I totally agree. Yeah. It really honestly took until the finale for me to, even like yesterday, I was like, okay, like finale's coming up. You know, I hope Ty wins, but I don't know, whatever. And then like, as the episode was going on, I was like, okay, I'm like on the edge of my seat. Like, what's going to happen? I don't know. Like, I'm so nervous. And so it really did bring me back into it. But I will say, like, as of last night, I was like, I don't really care. And then today I was like, I care. I actually do care.
Yeah. I liked last night. Last night brought me back in. Tonight brought it home.
Ashley Foss in the chat said, yeah, feeds give me Stockholm syndrome. And that's literally what it is. Like, Big Brother gives you such high highs and then such low lows, but the high highs are just always so worth it. So we're all going to be sitting here complaining about it. And then as soon as Big Brother Canada 10 rolls around after Big Brother 23, we're going to be like, oh my God, yes, Big Brother Canada's back. It's so much better. Yes, we're going to think about all the positive, which I think is a better way to live your life anyway. I think you should focus more on the positive anyway. So yeah, it's just, you know, we take what we can get. And I think that this season really, it delivered in a lot of ways. The feeds were a mess, but we love the team at Big Brother Canada. And we love Arissa. We love you, Arissa. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much, Arissa. Seriously.
We love Arissa.
Yes. All right. Anything else from the finale that we need to talk about? That part two. If we're eulogizing Tara, I think the way to eulogize her is, I'm so sorry. The second we saw part two, it was all over. 49 minutes to what 16, 18, 11. I don't remember. But
that,
like,
so hard. There's absolutely no way I could have done that. I have literally no aim. I can't throw a ball. Like, I just, it would have been over for me. Like, no matter how much I studied, it wouldn't even matter because I wouldn't even be able to aim.
Yeah, like after a season of relatively even competitions, this was very much not one of those. A little bit of a dropped ball here, pun intended, for the challenge producers. I think normally part two is actually, and because it wasn't even fun to watch. I couldn't see the numbers.
The
I couldn't. They didn't even show most of the questions. They just showed a montage of throwing the ball.
I think it would have been helpful if they had shown like the right answer, like lit up
for us, like
the viewer. And then that way, like as they're aiming it, we're like, okay, good. They're doing it right. They're aiming for the right ones. Like, oh no, they just knocked down the right one and they're going to have the wrong answer. Like then at least we know. Cause otherwise it's like, I have no clue what's going on. Let's just wait and see. Like once they give the, especially because they're not next to each other, so you can't see them doing it at the same time. So it's not like, oh, well, one of them's going in front of the other one. One of them's having a better time. Like we won't know until the times are revealed. Yeah. So like,
and any competition where the second I see it, I'm like, oh, Taiwan, is like, okay, you kind of screwed up. It's not balanced enough.
And they tried to play it off like, oh, I played basketball, not baseball. I'm not good at throwing things. It was like, okay.
I did capture this moment on stream because I was like, Ty is a basketball player. He knows how to throw balls. And then he starts throwing. It's like,
yeah, he immediately was like, I do not.
Yeah, I was like, this is going to take a while.
Baseball. And I was like, yeah, you know what? Yeah, this is basketball. This is baseball. Yeah. So there's
The way it's funny too, because the way he ends up throwing them, he throws it almost like a basketball. Like he's throwing it with an arc.
Yeah, he shoots it.
It's
first he's like,
I don't think he's ever thrown a baseball in his life.
Yeah, not.
But I
I liked all the comps. I think they were pretty dynamic. I mean, the last one is, you know, that's the one that we all know. But I really enjoyed watching, especially the first one, because, I mean, I hate that they were feeling so bad, but like, whenever one of those discs would fall and you could just see the look of utter defeat on their face, but they still had to like pick it up, try again. I love that because it's like, yes, you're at the end, but you got to just keep pushing. Just keep pushing. When they said 4 hours on the clock, I was like, what are y'all doing? And then I was like, oh, okay. I get it now.
Yeah. I need more.
Yeah.
I have a question about this because I also didn't think about it enough to figure out the answer. So they go into this tiebreaker, right?
Mm-hmm.
Were they all equal on everything?
Well, see, that is the thing too, because I was paying attention during the thing, and I assumed at the end of 4 hours it was just going to go to whoever had gotten to the highest number, which according to what they showed was Tara. Like Tara in two of these competitions got very unlucky with the rules and what they were, because I thought, oh, Tara wins. And then they were like, nope, everyone resets to zero and it's a new rule set. And I was like, okay. I mean, I wasn't complaining at the time, but it definitely was unlucky. Not a great result here for Tara in part one. And then also not a great result for Tara in part two. She, you know, for as much as everyone had a chance here, Tara did get a little screwed in these endgame comps.
I know. And I felt so bad. We were all watching. Well, let me not say that. We were watching the show, and she's Tara says something along the lines of like, "Oh, you idiot!" after the second competition. And I always feel a little bad when Big Brother players say that kind of stuff to themselves. Like, you are in a pressure cooker. You have been fighting for 69 days. Like, it is okay if you do not remember every detail of the season. Of course, it's frustrating when you get so close to the end and you don't win. But like, be kind to yourself. Like, you are not an idiot because you were not able, because your brain was so frazzled after 69 days of betrayal. Like, Tara, you did the best you could do, and you should be proud of yourself.
Yeah. And I will say that even like the final HOH competition, like the part three, even though that was just like questions and we've seen that before, like it was actually very exciting because they were neck and neck. Like both like, I didn't know who was going to win. And then it comes down to like the final question. I mean, that was great.
I was watching this live. This is recorded. I was watching it happen. And I literally said a couple of questions before the final one. I was like, if I was there, I would be taking as much time as possible before I locked in my answers, checking, double checking, triple checking, quadruple checking, waiting for Arista to be like, we need an answer, still double checking, and then then finally buzzing at the last possible second. And that's what Ty was doing. He was waiting a long time every time. And the reason I said it is because I saw Brayden buzzing in so early every time. And then in that final question, he buzzes in early, double checks after he buzzes in. Ty still hasn't even buzzed in yet, and he realizes he's wrong and it's too late, and it's just like, wow, like that is what did it.
I thought for sure Brayden had it because he was answering so confidently every time, like so quickly. I was like, Ty is not, he doesn't know his stuff. That was my initial thought. I mean, obviously, so I was shocked when Brayden buzzed in right away and then Ty won the last question. I was like, whoa, that was not what I expected at all.
And this is not the first time this has happened to Brayden. In the, I think, the before and after quiz competition, one of the few that Ty has beaten Brayden in, heads up, he did the same thing. He went up and then went, oh, it's that one. And he was wrong. Like he was just, he's quick to answer and then realizes he's wrong afterward. It's brutal, which, you know, was the same thing that happened with the brick wall and the veto competition. But at least Ty also screwed that one up.
Yeah. It's nerve wracking. You really, those last couple comps, it's always hard to see people like I'm so close. And then it's like, clown shoe, man. That's all I can think of every single time.
Yeah. Like Tara at this point, never going to a carnival ever again. It's going to be rough. She's not going to go. She's not going to go for that stuff. Then it's not happening at all. No, I felt like I feel bad. Like, just, I want to echo what Amon said. Like, they're in such a pressure cooker situation. It's all happening so live. It's a fleeting moment. One moment, if it slips through your fingers, it's gone. And they're going to have to relive this for many, many moons.
If I'm Braden and I find out that the difference for the jury vote was who won that final HOH, RIP me. Like, you will not hear from me ever again.
It's a lot on the shoulders. That's why, and yes, we are arriving at the Puya being cheesy segment of the podcast, so stay tuned. Genuinely, it was a fun season. Season's over now. Don't be slinging mud at anybody on Twitter. Please just let the people live their lives. They went through 69 days of the TV show, of the game. We all love this game. Let's let them enjoy their experience. Any of us would love to be in their position to play that game. Let's let them enjoy their experience. Okay. Thank you.
Yeah. It's I don't like that we need to have this segment at the end of every season we cover. I know. But we do, because honestly, to not have this segment is to just accept the reality. I know that there are going to be plenty of comments that are like, oh, it's not going to change anybody's mind. But you know what? I don't care. I see something in the world that I don't like, and I'm going to speak against it. I don't like that people come out of the game to face all kinds of harassment. Whether it's as extreme as death threats or it's just regular old, I want to make somebody feel really bad about themselves. It's no good. Don't do it. Just try to, you know, let people live their lives. Again, there's a difference between, holding people, accountable for problematic behavior, wanting to speak out against that you disagree with in the world, and actively trying to ruin somebody's life or harass them or trying to make them feel bad. There's a difference there. And I do think it matters. Please do not, let people live their lives.
Yeah. And like the point that you just made about not having this conversation is just to accept the reality of what is actually going on. That's the exact same way that I feel about just like how diverse this season was. I think that there are some people that really just want their big brother to be nothing about what the world really is. They just want this to be sort of like an escape from all of the conversations that surround social justice and all sorts of things like that. And I think these conversations are extremely important because of the results and the fruits in which they bear. Like, we got such a fantastic season from one of the most diverse casts in history. And I feel like that just can't be lost in the sauce. Like, and yes, these kinds of conversations, some of these segments may have made people uncomfortable, but that's all part of the process. I'm sure that there are probably plenty of people that are going to be like, I don't like the fact that Ty told Tara that he's not taking her to the final three or to the final two because he wants for this to be a historic season. And I can understand where people are coming from, but at the same time, the reason that we are continuously having conversations like these is because of the fact that the patterns of which we have seen for the past 20 years, and even before that, if you just discount reality TV, is that a certain type of winner is always going to occur because a certain type of person is the most deemed to be worthy of winning a game like Big Brother. And yes, it's just reality TV at the end of the day, but everyone deserves to see themselves represented in every single avenue of life. Big Brother is no exception to that. I'm just glad that finally, that little glass ceiling is cracked open a little bit. There's still work to go. There are still people of all kinds of demographics that I want to see win this game. But I feel like we are on such a really, really good path. And I just want us to take, if anything, take that from this season so that, of course, eventually, as Arissa said, one day in the future, we won't even have to talk about it. But right now we do, because that's the reality that we live in. And so I just hope that people take that message with them. I hope that people take that and leave that on their hearts moving out of this season, because this game, this show, we all love it so much and we all just want it to be the best that it can be. And I feel like this season really has restored a lot of my faith in the show and in just like just humanity in general. So like I'm really, really happy that we got this season, and I'm very, very proud. And yes, Tyshawn, yes, Brayden, yes, everybody. Like, it was such a good, good finale. My heart is so full. I loved it.
Thank you for that, Amon. That was
beautifully
awesome.
Said.
That was awesome. Yeah.
Yeah. And I completely agree too. Like, you know, we're here because people had uncomfortable conversations before this moment, right? Like, these changes were made because these conversations were happening, because people asked for it over and over again. People told people, oh, shut up, show, you don't. It's what's not, it's, if you think about the percentages of the population, and it's really,
it's like every little thing that you could think of, people had like a comeback for it. And I'm like,
but like these conversations happened and they made people feel uncomfortable, but it got us to where we are here. And this is a great moment and this is a great cast. And we are making progress and it's not over. We got to continue to make people feel uncomfortable sometimes, because the status, anything apart from the status quo is uncomfortable. It is. It's just, that's just what it is. And the status quo is we're not finished. You're going to have to feel uncomfortable. So let's keep it going. I love what you said, Amon. And I love where we're at right now. And I love that, that we had this cast. And I love that we have this result. It's great stuff.
Great yeah. Stuff. Really, really great stuff. Shout out to Arisa one more time, baby.
Yes.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah. All right.
The dress though.
Oh,
the dress. Ooh. The dress dipped in fire, honey. Like, ooh, man, I don't like talking crap about Julie Chen, but Julie Chen could never, because look at that dress. Oh my God, I loved it. Yes.
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 Okay. Because look, I have my opinion holds no weight when it comes to dresses.
Are you about to? Taryn.
But Taryn. I was a little confused.
Oh, no.
I was just a little Taryn. Confused about the dress. No, that's all.
The
I'm
heel
saying.
Turn.
All right.
I thought she looked amazing. Yes, last night.
Taryn's like, let's talk positive about everyone. But like, Arisa, like, can we please?
I love that that was the segue. He's like, but the dress.
I did not believe that. I thought that Taryn was about to like have like a whole fashion moment with me and then completely 180.
Look, I, wow. Honestly, I'm not even, again, I'm not saying that I necessarily thought it was bad. I would love for somebody who knows about fashion to explain it to me, because
it's all about dimension and drama. It sort of like spills off the bodice and then flares out down so that you get all of the legs as a centerpiece. It's like, you know, she's coming up out of the flames. That's what it is. Like, you didn't see any of that, Taryn? What's wrong with you?
Speaking of fashion, though, I do want to call out.
Amon, right now. Hold on. Right now, I'm wearing this button down shirt and sweatpants. That's my fashion, Amon.
God.
Yeah, Amon, when you got up to walk away, I was like, oh, Amon went full. Kudos. I'm not rocking full.
Sorry,
Melissa, I went pajama man. Pants.
I did.
Yeah, I was gonna say I can't stand up. Yeah. I can't stand up. Yeah, it's not happening.
I had to dress for the occasion. It's such a momentous occasion. I love it. I just had to exemplify it somehow.
It's easily best dressed on the podcast and of the fandom, if I do get bold and predict what everyone else is wearing tonight. So
I want to say, though, Ty's outfit that they gave him for the Big Brother Canada Awards was so amazing. I just loved his outfit. I love that like crown thing, and then like the tassels hanging off of the shoulder pad. Oh, I loved it.
I mean,
it
Ty was amazing. Looks great in everything.
Well, yeah. That is true. But I mean, like, yeah, the fact that he was that headpiece, I want it. I'm like going to look on Etsy for a headpiece like that, I swear.
What do we think of Brayden's suit jacket? I was very intrigued by that. I'd never seen anything like that before.
The one he wore tonight or the.
Yeah, the one he wore tonight. The suit jacket that kind of looks like it's been spray painted a little bit.
Why can't I remember it right now? Oh, my God. Wait, let me find a picture.
Okay.
because I was intrigued by it. I mean, Todd looked dapper as always, but I was like, oh, damn, Brayden, okay.
I thought Brayden and Taro were like kind of matching or like trying to match or something. Oh. They probably weren't, because Ty, why would they then have Ty look different? I thought maybe they like gave them outfits, but then I was like, no, wait, that doesn't make any sense.
But they look kind of similar. Outfits, right? Because don't they give them, I think they dress them for the premiere.
Oh, do they?
I'm pretty sure. Like, I feel like I remember hearing conversations from them about, oh yeah, like they gave me this for like, I correct me if I'm wrong, if anyone in the chat knows, but I'm pretty
sure. Yeah, we need someone from Big Brother Canada to tell us. Cause like, I don't know. I know Big Brother US, they bring their own outfits for the finale, yeah, and they always talk about like, oh wait, you know, I brought my finale outfit, blah, blah, blah.
Right. Right. Well, would you wear a button down and sweats to the finale of Big Brother if you made it, Terry?
No.
only if they were showing waist up. If I knew I wasn't going to show waist down, I'm being comfortable.
I feel like I would wear something extra. I feel like I would wear a whole like leather suit with leather Converse and sunglasses.
I always love how extra like Big Brother Canada, like the fashion on Big Brother Canada is like, so good. I feel like Big Brother US is nothing like Big Brother Canada's fashion.
I know. They really show out. They really do up there.
It did not escape my notice that Anthony came in looking fly with a burgundy suit.
I mean, well, that's,
yeah, I was like, you know, I want them to take off that mask. Like, I get that it's all like, okay, yeah, we have to like keep him in a mask. But like, couldn't they put him far enough apart that they could just like, I don't know.
I was surprised that they had somebody in general, to be honest. I thought they weren't. Yeah. I thought they just weren't going to have somebody, or if they did, that they would be like over Zoom or something.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, definitely. Oh, a Zoom jury. I heard of
a leather jacket. I'd never heard of a leather suit till you said that, Amon. Looking at it now,
he's like, good. And purchase.
Oh, I think Amon would kill that look.
Yes. Oh yeah, yeah, the shiny kind of leather, the kind that kind of like sparkles in the light, not like the you know, dry hide. Like I want like the. Like I want
to. You know. Oh boy!
Kill it.
Can we talk about real quick when the pre-jury gets brought in on Zoom, and there's a clear delay as Arissa's announcing everyone. So when she announced Josh says something and just immediately gets cut off for the introduction.
Oh yeah, I noticed that too. Yeah.
Like, well, that's so awkward. So I mean, I don't think he would have noticed it. Hopefully. But it did feel awkward on the show a little bit that these were not edited out, at least.
Once again, I really just want for us to, and Big Brother Canada has done this before, so I'm not going to like, you know, talk too much crap, but just give us a good reunion. Come on. Like, it doesn't even have to be at the end.
Why
of finale.
Won't they do it?
I don't know. You could do it. You could like give them a couple of days to decompress and just bring them all back to the studio, have them on the main stage and just talk about the season. This like, season is so
even just put it online.
Long.
Well, the thing is, they do it. They do it in Canada. It's on the morning talk show on Global the next day. But right. Then like terrible, no one's no one's showing that. So it never hits. Yeah. Like, I mean, I think I'm a little bit more confident that the circle, the after party that the circle is doing for their stuff, it's like a full day and a half later. I have more hopes for that. But I do think like
that's why we're not getting it. They need to get David Spade, and that's just out of the budget.
Yeah, they can't afford no David Spade. But here's the thing. Yeah, go ahead, Amon.
Maybe I was just gonna say, maybe with, you know, Viacom being involved in this, and they see like, I mean, the challenge has like how many freaking reunion episodes? Like
it's an 18-parter,
right? Maybe we'll get a little bit of like some influence there. Maybe somebody will be like, hey, how about a reunion for Big Brother 2? And they'll be like, that's a good idea. Like maybe, but
I think it's just
breath.
I think it's too different from how they like the crew that works on the show.
A reunion
show is a very different kind of production. So I think that's the issue.
I think it's also because there's no one on production like you, Taryn, that will like watch the show intensively and take notes and know exactly what types of questions and subjects to talk about to really encapsulate the season. Because I feel like they're really kind of one and done over there. They're just, let's talk about the edit for Monday.
Man, if only
Wednesday,
there were someone like
Thursday.
Me who's cheaper than David Spade that they could hire.
I mean,
I wonder.
I mean, I think I know a guy, but
if it's been gets paid that much, I don't know, man. I feel like David Spade will show up for like a bologna sandwich. Like, I don't think his like quote is very expensive. David Spade wants to be there. I feel like
not a bologna sandwich that just sunk in.
Like, he's not like, I don't think he's getting like six figures to show up for the
circle. I mean, no, I don't way. Think I don't think there's any universe where I ever get paid more than David Spade at anything.
No. But like, don't sell yourself that short. Get something.
PewDiePie Mania 45 in the chat. I don't disagree that Arisa could do it. Arisa definitely could do it. She has done it. I don't disagree with that. I was just saying specifically for BBUS, like, I think that they're sort of like less, no one, that there really isn't anybody from production in BBUS that's giving us like, I care about this show like Arisa does. So,
right. I mean, they don't have an Arisa there at all in the US.
Sorry, but you feel free to continue your interrupted thought.
What was my interrupted thought? I mean, I said it. I mean, I'm not going to compliment you any more than that.
Oh, no.
Taryn's like, no, keep going.
That was before. That was before. I interrupted and then Amon interrupted.
What was I saying prior? I forget now.
Well, you were talking about the Circle after party, and I had to make a David Spade joke.
Let's see. So we talked about So you had mentioned, you know, you liked how Survivor does it.
Yes.
So that, but the way Survivor does it would demand an extra hour, right? Because then we do everything. We do 2 hours, a little bit of extra time, because they clearly had more could give more time for some of these deliberations. We get that. And then they get an hour of reunion at the end. Not even an hour. Give me a 30-minute window, you know, with like one commercial or two for your sponsors. Give me 20 minutes after the votes are read. And I guarantee you we'll have a better experience on the reunion.
Absolutely. In my opinion, read the votes at it would have been 9:30. Read the votes at 9:30. Mm-hmm. Announce the winner. If you want to find out who won Canada's favorite, stay tuned to the end,
and then
you know, get all the other stuff in.
Yes. Or like, if you want to, you know, promote the live feeds once again, be like, tune in for the live feeds whenever day we're gonna have the live reunion. Like, it all makes sense to me. I don't know why they just won't do it. Like, it's a business, but like, let's throw them a bone. You know what I mean? If y'all are really trying to hawk these live feeds, then give us some incentive to buy the live feeds. I'm sure like, if it's a bomb ass season of Big Brother and people want to watch the reunion, maybe they'll throw $5 at Paramount Plus and be like, okay, let me watch this damn thing and see what they got going on. Like, come on. Like, it's not that hard. Like, I just feel like, you already spent, you are recording people for 60 to 99 days. That is a lot of work. How much extra work could it be to just talk about those 99 days? That's it.
Yeah.
That's
and it. And I will also say, it would not be a Big Brother finale podcast if I did not bring up how I hate jury questioning and I want them to return to non-live jury questioning. The fact that please. I came away from this finale, you know what? It's great. It's great for me. How they do it, because nobody knows why the jury voted the way that they did, because they never explained it in any capacity. We can assume and we can probably make good assumptions, but until we ask them why afterward, we have no idea, because their questions didn't match their votes at all. And so we've got nothing. We've got no information. We need longer jury questioning segments. We need to see more questions. We need to not have them have locked in questions. We need to let them explain their games more often. They had 160 seconds at the end to explain their game and literally had their mics get cut off.
That's stupid.
Yeah. It was a whole Oscar moment. It really was.
Yeah. Like, I know we've already talked about like the reunion or whatever, but I think it would be so helpful if we could, after the fact, be like, okay, why did you vote for, like, we thought you were going to vote for Brayden. Why did you vote for Ty? Like, asking these questions rather than like, well, hopefully Taryn can talk to them later and then we can figure out what the heck happened. Like, it's like, it would be so much easier and so interesting to be like, why did you vote? Why? Like, and then they could have even said, like, had Brayden won the final HOH and taken Ty, raise your hand if you would have voted for Brayden. Like, we would have been able to see these things. And now who knows?
Yeah, now they're going to get, I'm not going to be able to talk to any of these people until like next week. And they're going to have seen all the internet stuff and they're going to know that people won't like it if they tell them that if Brayden had won the final three HOH, I would have voted for him. What? That sucks. Actually, never mind. I wouldn't have.
Yeah, I know. I wouldn't have.
Yeah.
Ridiculous.
you shouldn't be able to make minute rice for the same amount of time that someone who spent 69 days in the Big Brother house to talk their game. You really shouldn't. It's that is not cool. Like genuinely, let at least make 2 minute rices. Like have like literally.
Yeah.
Come on. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. All right. That's where we're at here. I mean, that was the season. Anything else from the finale that we need to talk about? I can't think. We got a great little segment from Julie saying she should be asked back for All Stars. I love that we got to see Julie. I love that
like All Stars is like becoming more and more of the conversation, like on the show. It makes me feel like that it actually is canon. Like, I feel like, because typically when people talk about All-Stars, I feel like the community kind of frowns on it. And I feel like the producers don't really give it too much credence. But for them to allow her to be like, yeah, pick me for All-Stars, it's like, okay. All right. Yeah. We'll see what happens.
We also heard from Austin and Kyle that they are a bit of a thing, perhaps.
We heard that from Kyle. Did we hear that from Austin? Did she say that?
No, but I feel like...
He's like, we talk and we might... Who knows what'll happen? So I don't know.
Kyle is not saying that if Austin is still, like, not into it.
I don't know. I feel like it's not a thing. I feel like...
I'll say this. Kyle and Austin played Among Us with Bruno on Bruno's Twitch stream, and he was like, hey, you killed my girl! And she was like, yeah, you killed me.
Okay. Like she didn't deny it. I wasn't privy to that information. So, all right. Okay. All the best.
We're really going to go off on Among Us round to determine the relationship?
Of all people to say that Among Us is not canon.
Yeah, because you and Liana be messing around. So
I'd like to think that we've had more of a showing than just, you know, in Among Us shrimping.
No, that's the only way that we know that you're for real, dude.
Oh my gosh.
I mean, obviously I don't necessarily think that they're like locked in, you know, they don't like live super close, or anything like that, but I don't think that Kyle is saying like
he's not alone, he's not like on a I can see that.
Yeah, there's a little bit of spark maybe, but I don't know. I feel like I was gonna bring something up that I may have forgotten, which is fine. Let's move on.
Let's move on.
Which is totally fine.
That's all I can really think here. You know, it's that's it. That's it. We got Ty. We got Ty's. We're gonna go through the you know, we're gonna think about this some more. We're gonna talk about Ty as a winner on next week's roundtable. We're gonna talk about you know, the season and where we'd place it, but we can, I think, make some estimates right now. Like this season, what are we thinking? Is this well? Let's go very general. Let's go. Is this the best Big Brother Canada season? Is it in the top?
I think top.
Is it top tier? Is it middle tier? Or is it bottom tier?
I think it's top tier. I can't. I'm just so hard. I know that a lot of people feel like it's the best one, and this is a conversation that, of course, will happen furthermore, but like, I just can't get over 5, y'all. I just can't get over BB Can 5. Like, BB Can 5 to me just feels so...
Yeah. It's on the podium. It's on the podium for sure. I think it's top 3 easy for me. The question is, where would it lie? And in my head, it's 5, 2, and 9 are the 3 on the podium.
Yes.
And then I feel like it'll come down to preference potentially on where you put it, whether you value the entertainment versus the winners, like, like, you know, agency in the game. There's so many other factors to go, but I feel like universally, I more often than not, those 3 are going to end up on the podium for everyone, I would assume.
I feel like 5, 2, and 6 for me are up
6
there. And
is
then
up
like,
there for
I think
me personally
9 is
too.
Like right underneath for me. I don't know. Like, I'll have to think about it. But that at this point, like initial thoughts, like I just think 5 was so good, 2 was so good, 6 was so good, and I feel like 9 was good. But I feel like I was more invested in the others.
This season to me felt like old school Big Brother, without any of the terrible parts of old school Big Brother where like you're listening to slurs being slung around every 2 seconds.
Yeah, not ideal.
Which is nice, right? Nice. But like it went into two sides, and then the two sides ended up not mattering. There was betrayal. There was, you know, not necessarily advanced gameplay all the time, but that didn't really matter. And everybody fought hard to be there. I feel it felt very old school to me in how it played out. And that is something that Big Brother Canada has not really accomplished before. You know, season 5 was its own thing. Season 2. Was probably the closest it's come to old school Big Brother, but also was just a bit marred by some of those twists and how it played out there. But this season, there were twists, but they did not really impact the game in any significant way. You know, I really enjoyed it. I feel like this is top tier Big Brother. This is Big Brother done right. There were a few things that could have screwed it up that production was doing, but they got lucky with their casting. They got lucky with, you know, whether or not their competition stuff was intentional. You know, it worked out. This is a top tier season for me, for sure.
I know that there are many people who had not given Big Brother Canada a shot before, who come in through, you know, obviously the pandemic still going on, they're home more, they gave it a shot. This was a great season. If this is your first BB Can season, like, you were blessed. This was a great time. I had a lot of fun, and especially, you know, to see proof of, yeah, the players don't need to be A+ players for the season to be close to A+ on its own. Mm-hmm. That speaks volumes. And I do like that very much. And the more we've talked about it tonight, team, we need to figure out what the new term is for the new era, because I do think this is a new era. And it's just a matter of what's the term that's going to get coined for it. Really?
I think so too. At the end of Big Brother 22, I mean, I sent a tweet out to our good friend Peridium, who does a lot of, you know, this kind of content for Big Brother. Mm-hmm. And I was like, what are we going to call this? Because it's looking like a shift has occurred. So what's the tea? And I don't know. I mean, maybe we need a couple more seasons to really kind of figure out where we are, but it's definitely a new destination. We are not in Big Brother Kansas anymore at all.
Mm-hmm. All right. Where are we classifying? Where are we putting Ty as a winner? I mean, we can go sort of like iconic winner. We can also go gameplay winner.
Let's see.
I'm not sure on either one right now.
Yeah. Okay. I'm gonna quickly name them out loud to remember. Jillian, John, Sarah, Pax Bros, Kevin, Paris.
I feel like he's around a similar, like, Paris to me is a player that was a very flawed player. She did some things right, some things very wrong. She had excellent jury management. She pulled out some clutch competitions at the end. Ty, similarly, very flawed player, did some things very wrong, some things very right. They were both very cutthroat. They both betrayed their allies at times. The difference is that Ty's jury management, I would not say was excellent, but he still won with the same amount of votes. He got there in the end with somebody much easier to beat. And that is valuable as well. I would say that Ty had a bit more control in the game than Paris did. I think they're kind of comparable winners to some degree.
Yeah, I think he's in the top 5 at least for me.
He's definitely,
I think he's top 5, maybe top 4 for me.
Yeah, he's like middle, maybe upper middle tier for me.
I would call him. I would call him better than Pax. Better than.
I mean, yeah, than don't Pax. Take much.
Yeah. So.
I would say better than Sarah.
Yeah, better than Sarah.
Yeah, I'd say better. Yeah. Julian.
Julian's such a hard one too. Sometimes. I mean, Jillian dominated that game, also had bad jury management, but also like kind of got screwed by that twist, but also got unscrewed by the twist. I would say Jillian's not.
Then Jillian lost, though.
Yeah, lost. Like she actually lost. Like
she actually lost. Like
yeah,
and that's I feel that. Yeah, that totally takes it away from me. If she had won, I feel like I'd feel differently. But it's like, I mean, she did win, but like technically, like I mean, she wasn't supposed to win, but for a mistake.
Yeah, and then
I don't envy you when you actually
I mean, the Canada winners are so hot because you got Jillian. Who lost but won, but played a better game than the person she won against, but it's so confusing. Then you've got John, who won, kind of, Netta did a lot of the work, but he also contributed a lot. Definitely a good winner, but maybe not as good as Netta would have been. Then you've got Sarah, who's Sarah? Then you've got the Vax Bros. Then you've got Kevin, who's incredibly hard to pin down. The way that he won was very good, but how repeatable is it? Certainly in this kind of season, not very. Then you've got Paris, who's an interesting winner. Then you've got Dane, who is just like, okay, easy. And then now you've got Ty. Like every single one of these winners are tough. Except for Dane, and maybe like, you know, Pax Bros and Sarah. It's a rough one. It's a rough thing to rank.
Yeah. He's either four or five for me. I have to be honest. Cause like, I'm thinking about it. And I'm like Dane from my perspective, like Kevin, John or Paris, I don't know. But maybe one of them drops down below Ty. I mean, I don't know. I think it's probably John and Paris up here, and or John and Paris, and then maybe he's four or five. I don't know.
Yeah, this is. I don't think this is an easy estimate. So you're gonna have to tune into the roundtable for more detailed discussion on on this one.
Are we not gonna know the results of the Stockwatch until the next roundtable? Then. They're not going to be automatically updated tonight.
Curiosity. Oh, damn. I forgot to go all in on Ty with my little measly $200.
I went all in on Ty. Well,
me too.
Not all in because I did. I gave one because I had like a little extra. It was like $2 extra. And I gave one to Tara and one to Brayden. So
I saved it because I was like, if they're going to not get rated, then might as well, like, you know, save that little like $3 that I had chilling.
I figured if Ty loses, then at least I'm not totally out. I have one. So yeah, that was what I was going for.
I think we don't have it updated. So I think we'll wait for the round table. And then we'll reveal the results, of the Stockwatch on the round table. So that's what we'll do. Round table should be next week. Let's just call it Tuesday. Sometimes we try to wait for the interviews, but it's always a futile thing. So let's just call it Tuesday, Tuesday night round table. As long as Melissa doesn't tell me that she's not available for it. And that's when the Stockwatch results will be revealed. We were talking about Ty. Iconic rating. You know what I'm getting at. Iconic is Ty as a winner?
Monumental.
Yes. Like, who is Ty a winner that we are going to keep coming back to? Is he going to continue to be involved in the community? Like, where do
I
we think
so.
He's going to?
I really hope so.
I hope he's involved in the community. Just, like, I mean, he needs crossed. To.
He doesn't. I mean, I'm not saying that you need to like be in these Twitter streets every moment of every day, but like, I really hope that he understands, and I think that he does, given what, you know, some of the things that came out of his mouth tonight. I think he understands just, you know, what a really, really great moment this is, and what it means to a lot of people in the community. So, Ty, if you ever see this, like, yeah, like. Holla at us for a second or two. You know what I mean? Like, just let us know. Are you
still around? Please.
Yeah, I think so. I think he's a player. He at least has some like flashy statistics and moves. I think that, you know, he's got this, you know, sort of historic element to his win. He's part of a great season. I think this is the season that that will be the standard that people hold other seasons to in the future. Sort of similar to how this Big Brother Canada 5 was for a while now. So I agree. I think he's going to be our, as long as he sticks in the community, which sometimes people don't, and yeah, people have no obligation to, then yeah, I think he's going to be here for a while. I think he's going to be an iconic winner.
Yeah. And Brayden too. We love Brayden as well. You still made top two, baby. You did a good job too, baby.
20K.
Yeah.
No votes against you.
Yeah.
Killed it. And the and the Q&A was amazing. So you have that. Yeah.
All right. Yes. Well, any final thoughts on the season as a whole here, Melissa?
Just that it was great. I mean, it was a blast. I have to say, like, it delivered for sure. I mean, every week there was something. Every week there was like, who, I don't know who's going to go home, or like, I don't know what's going to happen, or there's possibly a flip. Like, I mean, every single roundtable, it felt like we didn't know who was going to go home. So everybody had a shot. And I feel like that hasn't been the way it's been recently. It's recently been more like, okay, well, this person's going home, so we give them a one and then they're out the door. But this season, I was guessing. I didn't know what was going to happen. And I love that. And then to have such a great winner to cap it off, it's just icing on the cake of a great season. Had an amazing time. And yeah, awesome.
All right. Oh, yeah. Final thoughts.
This was fun. I think especially after last season being very foregone, there are so many memorable moments that I'm going to take away. This is a season I know I'm going to be referencing and thinking about moving forward for many reasons, from the diversity that came through, from the winner that we got, from literally the Stockwatch being a hot mess every week and no one really making big profits. The fact that we had a live feed update that was led by two stuffed like doll Orwell and freaking baby Yoda instead of us, not having feeds for a hot, like there are so many things I'm going to remember from these last couple months, and all of it is nothing but positive and good for me. And I can't wait to see where the franchise goes moving forward.
All right, Aman.
Yeah. I mean, this was a great, great leap forward. I'm excited. Big Brother has always been one of my favorite things in life. And I just feel very, very affirmed right now. And I'm just excited for what comes next. And I just hope that, like I said before, people are able to see that in this season. And keep this energy going, keep this energy constant, because there is still so much more better Big Brother out there in our future. Like I can feel it. Like there are better seasons to be had. You know what I mean? And I just enjoyed this so much. And I echo what Melissa said, and just like the unpredictability of it all. Like when we were having like the clip show and they were showing LaToya trying to flip the votes every other week, I was like, oh my God, I missed LaToya. Oh my God, I missed Josh. Oh my God, I missed Kyle. Like I missed these players when they were gone. And you can't always say that. Like there were so many rootable characters in this season. And so I just hope that we are able to continue this and have more and more of these great seasons. And Big Brother Canada, please get your live feeds together. And I'm out.
Yes. I want to just thank you guys on the podcast with me, and thank the audience who has been here with us all season long. It has been such a fun time covering the season, and I'm so proud of the content that we put out this season. I feel like, you know, it's always all obviously a lot of hard work, but it really pays off with you guys that we see you here every day, every week, in the chat, watching along, listening to the podcasts, hanging out, people, especially if you're, a positive presence in the community. I really, really do appreciate it. All of the support that you guys give us. It's been such a blast, and, I've received so much, sort of positive feedback for the podcast this season that I've really, really appreciated. So, I really, really, have enjoyed this whole experience. I'm very, very happy with it. I'm excited, looking forward to, Big Brother 23. I'm hopeful. I'm optimistic. We'll see where we can go from here. And yeah, that's it. That's what we've got for you for Big Brother Canada 9. Thank you so much. If you want to continue to hang out with me and watch the content that I produce, you can find me on Twitch, twitch.tv/Taryn Armstrong. You can go over there, hit the follow button, and you know, just hang out with me. We'll play games with Big Brother contestants. We'll talk about Big Brother. We'll do all sorts of things. I'm sure I'll also have plenty of off-season content on Rob as a Podcast. If you want to show your appreciation and support for the podcast, it is a new month of May here. We're just a week into May. It's a great time to become a patron of Rob as a Podcast. And show us that you love us here, even in the off season. That would be, much appreciated as well. You can of course also find me on Twitter. I'll usually link out to anything that I'm doing. So if you can find me, through those links and such, Melissa, where can people find you?
You can find me at all social media at It's Melissa with 3 A's.
There you go. Puya.
You can find me also doing my streaming thing on Twitch, twitch.tv/Puya, just my name, and then Puyaism on all other social media platforms. My podcasting is going to continue still because we have 3 more weeks of The Masked Singer. So me and Liana Boris will be back talking about all of those this week, the week after, and the week after that. And then, of course, 90 Day Fiance is a 365-day sport at this point. And me and Rob will be talking all about 90 Day Fiance, Happily Ever After, Season 6. On the network as well.
All right. And Amon.
You can find me at Amon Adwin on all platforms, Twitter, Instagram, Twitch. I'll probably be back in the RHAP feed very, very soon because Drag Race All-Star 6 is looming overhead. So, yep, that's it for me.
All right. Well, thank you guys so much for joining us again all season long. It's been such a pleasure. And we will see all of you at the round table next week. We're not quite done yet. We've got interviews. I'm going to be talking with the final three tomorrow. And so there's plenty of Big Brother stuff to continue to watch. If this is the last time that I see you in a little while, then I will see you in Big Brother 23.
Judy was boring.
Hello.
Then Judy discovered Chumbacasino.com.
It's my little escape.
Now Judy's the life of the party.
Oh, baby, mama's bringing home the bacon.
Whoa, take it easy, Judy. The Chumba life is for everybody. So go to Chumbacasino.com and play over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.